Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Confident Hypnotherapist podcast. Now, this week I had the wonderful Gail Dwyer with me. Gail's a hypnotherapist and counselor and trainer and an EFT specialist based in Melbourne with her business Time to Thrive. And Gail and I have been friends for a long time, so it feels like it's going to be just a great catch-up with a dear friend today anyway. But Gail, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much, Lawrence, for having me. I was absolutely delighted when you messaged me.
I can't think of a better way to spend a hot day than to chat with you. So if anyone can hear fans going in the background, it's because both Gail and I have needed them to be able to cope with this Melbourne heat, which is Melbourne heat's not two words that go together too often, is it?
No, it's so up and down, and we haven't really had much time to acclimatise to the heat yet. So,
yeah. This is a bit of a confession. I've been living out of shorts for the last 2 weeks, and I tend to wear shirts like this a lot, and the patterns don't match. So I'm really glad that I'm living online again at the moment. It would be a bit disastrous otherwise.
Oh, I'm with you on that one.
There's probably people listening to this going, when are they going to get on with talking about So we should probably do that. You know, Gail, you've been in. How long have you been working as a hypnotherapist for now?
Lawrence, it's about 16 years now.
16 years?
Yeah. I graduated in 2006. So my calculation's right, 16 years.
Jeez, does it feel like 16 years for you?
Wow, that's a big number, isn't it? It doesn't really, no.
Because I know, obviously, when you've been going, you know, in any particular role that long, it tends to feel like perhaps there's that the first chapter, the second chapter, the third chapter kind of thing, where there's that evolution of who you are as Absolutely. You grow through your career.
Yeah.
What brought you to hypnotherapy in the first place?
Well, back in 2005, I would have started. So I was actually a single mum at the time, and just doing odd jobs here and there. And when I left high school, I actually deferred from psychology. So I always had that inclination and that interest, but obviously just went out and worked because we lived in the country. I moved to Melbourne, lived with friends, and just went out and worked. That's what you did. And still, like, had that interest, but went off on a bit of a journey into beauty therapy, massage therapy, and that kind of thing. And working other different jobs. And then when I was going through that separation and I was living with my mum and dad at the time with two small children, and I just thought, I really want to do something now that I'm going to really enjoy. So it's a long time ago, so it's hard to remember, but I was scrolling through the internet, and I found a hypnotherapy course, the Academy of Hypnotic Science, which...
That's where I went as well.
Yes. Yeah. So I looked through all the subjects that they offered, and it just really rang my bell, like all the different subjects that they offered, a bit of psychology, a bit of psychonutrition, a bit of counselling, and all sorts of different things, and obviously hypnosis and slightly more interesting things and spiritual things, if you like. So that really appealed to me. So I jumped in and did that course full time, took 2 years, and haven't looked back since. Obviously, like a lot of therapists, as we were talking about before, it takes a little while to get going. So, you know, I was doing a bit of other part-time work and seeing a few clients from home over the years, and gradually got into it more and more, working out of clinics and things like that. But, yeah, like you said, you have your different stages of evolution with it, and I feel like, you know, just in the last sort of 5 years, I guess I'm really more coming into my own now and really gaining that confidence and things like that. So, yeah, it's been a journey.
So what do you think it is then that happened in the last 5 years that created that shift for you?
I think it's been really pushing myself and really walking my talk. Mm-hmm. As you know, I'm an EFT practitioner, so I use that a lot on myself, and it helps you to get past the blocks. It helps you to regulate your life, your emotions and stress and things like that. So I have needed to do that. I've had some really stressful moments, and Yeah, so I've had to walk my talk. I've had to really push myself out of my comfort zone. So that's what's done it, I think, just really pushing through some difficult times, pushing myself out of my comfort zone and really growing that way. So that's been my thing. And I actually now enjoy going out of my comfort zone because I know what's on the other side.
How do you, well, that's an interesting thing because I agree, you know, the meaty stuff happens outside the comfort zone. And I think you need to have your energy up to be able to deal with that. And because, you know, it takes that energy to fuel that mindset and everything. But how do you, is there a particular thing you do to help you feel comfortable in stepping outside the comfort zone? It's a strange question. Is there anything you do to be comfortable with discomfort?
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's just doing it and getting to know that what's on the other side is empowerment and confidence and growth. So, you know, just by doing it and really, you know, again, I just always wanted to walk my talk. I thought if I'm going to be a therapist, I need to really practice what I preach every day and use the tools that I know to manage stress and to help me get to believe in myself more and get past those self-doubts and things like that.
So is it possible then for us to explore a little bit about those tools that you use? What is it that you actually do then to prepare for your day?
Yeah, sure. So I do meditate a lot. So self-hypnosis, meditation, very similar things. And I tap. I use tapping a lot, which is great because, you know, it's so easy. You can use it in 3 minutes. You can do 20 minutes, whatever you like. It doesn't really matter. So, and obviously lots of learning as well, listening to books and just really feeding my brain that stuff that really elevates me. So I really enjoy soaking stuff in that elevates my emotion. Yeah.
Has there been any books recently that you've read that have really captured that aspect?
Oh, look, I love Joe Dispenza. I've read a lot of his. They always make me feel amazing and I learn a lot from him and then bring that into my work. Dr. David Hamilton's a great one as well. So I'm listening to him at the moment and it's actually a book called Why Woo Woo Works and it's
Is that
really
a new one? Because I know that I've got a couple of his, but I've not heard of Why Woo Woo Works. What a great title, by the way.
I know. That's his latest one, so I'm only a few chapters in, but it's really, really good. Yeah.
What about, you know, you were talking about studying at the academy going back to 2006. How were you when you graduated? What, you know, where would you have seen your confidence as being a hypnotherapist at that point in time?
Gosh. I suppose like a lot of people, very low, I guess, not confident with the process of hypnosis. I actually started using tapping very early on in the piece as well, and I think that's the thing that gave me a lot of confidence too because it was a tool that I could use without having to do any homework. Like with hypnosis, I kind of felt that I had to prepare and have scripts ready and things like that. Whereas with the tapping, when you're working with someone, it just evolves so organically and it's very interactive that using that tool with my clients helped me get my confidence up with working with them as well. So, so I think with that tool, I gained a lot more confidence more quickly than hypnosis as such, yeah.
How did you come across tapping?
On my course when I studied, there was another student there that was into tapping and just showed us, and I actually used it just before our practical exam. So that's what sold me on it. So I didn't know anything about it, but we teamed up in twos, obviously, and my partner said, hey, let's tap through the points before we do our exam. So we both felt nervous, of course. So we tapped through the points, just focusing on how nervous we felt, simple as that, and I was as calm as anything because, you know, I used to have nightmares about HSC exams.
Really?
So my nerves would be really high before exams at school and things like that. So it really helped me and I was really calm throughout the exam with the lecturers coming in and out, observing us and things like that. And I thought, wow, that's powerful. I've got to look into this a bit more. So I did. Haven't looked back.
And how do you, like, I mean, when you, because I noticed on your website, you talk about the fact that you do specialize in limiting beliefs. And I can imagine that the combination of hypnotherapy and tapping could be really powerful there.
Yeah.
What's an experience like working with you to deal with limiting beliefs? Are you able to share a little bit about what that experience is like?
Yeah, sure. I guess it's very intuitive. I work really intuitive now with my clients. So typically I'll start obviously with a bit of talking and then tapping, depending on if they're new or, you know, a client that's familiar with tapping. Then, you know, with the tapping, it just opens everything up. It opens their subconscious up. It puts me into a nice state of hypnosis so I can connect with them really well. Their subconscious guides the session so it goes where it needs to go for them. But I'm really tuning into them as well because my brain waves have dropped from tapping along with them. So we're just really connected and it just flows beautifully. So I don't necessarily know where it's going to go, but it just always, you know,
create the space.
Yeah, just create that space. It's really relaxed and, you know, like talking with you, it's just really relaxed and easy. Mm.
For those that don't know anything about tapping at all, you know, I think it's probably worth us taking a moment just to explain to people what tapping or EFT represents. You know, for those that have got absolutely no concept at all, what's the nutshell? Sure. Explanation of what tapping is and
sure.
The science behind it, I guess.
Yeah, so for someone that's never heard of it, I guess I would say it's as simple as a stress reduction technique. So you tap on meridian points whilst focusing on an emotion or a thought or a stress, a discomfort. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it sends a calming signal to the brain while you're thinking about the problem. And it calms the nervous system as well. So it changes how your body's responding to that problem because we all feel it in our bodies, right? Don't we? We feel stress in our body, mm-hmm. anxiety, we feel anger, sadness, whatever it is in our body very viscerally. So the tapping actually calms that down. It tells the brain that you're safe, brings you into the present moment. And therefore, this beautiful cognitive shift happens where the client starts to see the problem differently. Because what happens when we're in the stress response is that our primal brain takes over. So we can't think rationally. So the tapping enables us to engage the frontal lobe. Again, the blood flow can return to the frontal lobe. We can think more rationally. The stress response switches off. And they've proven that scientifically, that tapping actually switches off the stress response. So then, yeah, you get this cognitive shift and this beautiful release happens from the body and the brain sees it differently. So all over, it just changes the whole perception around the problem.
Mm. Mm. It's interesting because recently a friend of mine and a former student of yours ran a small tapping session for myself and a couple of friends around essentially diet, but our desire for food.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting experience because, you know, she made us have our favorite food there with us and made us take a little nibble. And we went through these tapping exercises. And I think all of us that were present in that very small group could feel that there was a shift that happened.
Yeah.
What I think was great was that afterwards, some of my friends reached out to me and said, oh, I went and got some information on tapping. And I'm exploring it further. And I thought, how wonderful that there's so many modalities out there that we can potentially use to help people. But when you see people that have found a modality that genuinely has resonated with them and given them a result that they weren't expecting but are grateful for, I just love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Training and tapping for a little while now. Yes. Can you tell us what people can expect if they were to come and do some training with you?
Yeah, sure. So basically I teach traditional EFT. So they'll learn all the basics of EFT. And the science, you know, we talk about the science behind it. We talk about the subconscious. So it's very much geared towards the hypnotherapy world. And then we talk about my technique, my sort of technique that I've created from it called transformational EFT, which kind of brings in a bit of self-hypnosis, a bit of energy medicine and mindfulness and things like that. So we talk about how to integrate that in their hypnosis practice, how to, you know, what would a session look like if you were to bring in tapping and then use hypnosis as well, because they go so beautifully together. Because when you're tapping, your brain waves drop into a hypnotic state anyway, just like with hypnosis. Down
into the alpha and theta waves.
Theta, absolutely. So by using a bit of tapping first in your session, you can gain so much more information from the client's subconscious. So then you can just, they're already in hypnosis, and then you can just go into your hypnosis session, you know, without probably having to do as much induction potentially, because they're already in that state, and it just flows really beautifully together. So, yeah, so the students will learn all the basics as far as, and also the evidence-based techniques like the clinical techniques, as well as my spin on it and how to use it with hypnosis.
And it's an online training, isn't it? So anyone in the world can join in.
Yes, correct.
It's always, who would have thought, you know, one of the great things that have come out of this pandemic is that, you know, a couple of years ago, people were so technophobic, and there were so many people I know that, you know, us Australians would love to have trained with that we just couldn't because they weren't necessarily coming here.
Absolutely.
I think us Australians have spent so much money on training in the last year because everyone's moved online, and finally all these people we want to train with, we can train with. It's
brilliant. I know. It's amazing, isn't it? I originally, when I wanted to teach this, I originally pictured myself in Melbourne in person with a group, and I wanted to, you know, travel interstate and teach it in all the different states and things like that in person. And then COVID came along, so I just thought I'll run it online, and that's, how it's done. So it's awesome.
I think for me, what I do online now with my training is a definitive version of what I offer, and I can imagine you're probably feeling the same, whereas I don't doubt there's a part of us that does want to go back at some point to face-to-face trainings in a group, because there's a different energy that exists with being in the
room. Absolutely,
But online's also been great for reaching people in Europe and the US and all parts of the world as well.
Absolutely. So the last training that I ran was actually, I had about 3 or 4 Melbourne people, and the rest were all from the UK and Florida and Scotland. And, yeah, so it was awesome. I just loved that.
The hypnotherapy community feels a lot more global and connected after this pandemic,
I think. Absolutely. I agree.
And that's a wonderful thing. Going back to your time as a therapist, you know, and this is a question I always love. It's a timeline question in itself. But, you know, given all the knowledge and the experience you have now, if you could go back in time to 2006 to sit down and coach that younger version of Gail who was just starting out, you know, what are some of the key pieces of advice that you would offer her?
Sure. I would say, number one, just get out and do it as much as you can. Practice, practice, practice. Just see clients, you know, because that's where you gain the most learning, I feel, and confidence, obviously, is just seeing people rather than feeling like you need to go and do another course and another course. And I think just remembering that you always know more than them about hypnosis and about your thing. So just do it. Just get out there and do it as much as you can. And also to practice the techniques more on yourself. Mm. You know, if it's hypnosis, practice hypnosis on yourself. Really, you know, use it every day and see how your life changes. Mm. Because I didn't do that for a very long time. You know, I loved it. I did a lot of learning, but I didn't actually use it on myself that much. But when you do, it just takes you to a whole another level. So definitely practice what you preach, for sure. Yeah.
It's funny because this year we've started, and I have to be honest, my motivation level this year has significantly dropped. And my energy levels have been a bit lower as well. You know, I'm being vulnerable and sharing with the world. Sure. And it means that for particularly this week, the number of clients I've seen is up. There's been both an excitement of seeing them, but it also a dread because, like, I'm you know, my energy levels are low and I want to give people the best. And I've been self-swanning this week. I use the swan a lot.
Okay, yeah.
And it was quite funny because I was using it yesterday and I was feeling quite anxious beforehand and I just asked the unconscious if it could provide calmness and focus and everything, and it was giving me that response. And I could feel this wave just wash over me.
Yeah.
It's like this beautiful gift from my unconscious to say, here's the state you need. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. That's amazing, Lawrence. Like, you're so right. We can go in and out of that, and I've experienced that as well, where I've had moments of just wanting to throw it all in, you know, go and get a job or just, you know, it feels too hard or whatever.
I think it's down to that energy. Just when you're feeling a bit depleted, that you can wonder, am I giving the best?
Yeah, it's all energy.
The belief that comes up in my head, that's my limiting belief. Am I giving the best? Which implies within that if I'm depleted, I can't give my best.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel, that's spot on what you just said, is that it's all energy, it's frequency. And if you can just do something like what you did or like with what I do with tapping is just take a few moments to just lift your emotion, lift your energy, and shift your state of being, and it just makes all the difference because we're human. We do drop into, do I have to see this client, you know? And then it only takes a couple of minutes to just completely change your state of being and lift your energy.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Now, again, coming back to that idea, for those that haven't seen tapping, you talk about the meridian points. Can we demonstrate where they are? So,
yeah, sure.
My understanding, I'm trying to remember here myself. is it the karate? No, the karate chops last, isn't it?
Karate chops first. So
first, so
typically you would focus on your problem and tap on the karate chop point and voice the problem.
Listening to the audio of this, if you lift up your hand and tap on the very side of your hand, that is the karate chop point. Yes. Don't go trying to break planks of wood and thinking that's tapping. It's not. Yes. And you will hurt yourself. So.
So typically you would tap on the karate chop point and say, even though I feel so angry right now, I choose to honour myself anyway. So a self-acceptance phrase. So you would do that 3 times and then you would tap through the points, which is the top of the head,
mm-hmm.
the end of the eyebrow. Mm-hmm. They're on both sides, but I usually use one side. It doesn't matter. Side of the eye.
Side of the eye.
Under the eye.
Yep.
Top of the lip, chin, collarbone, just underneath where your collarbone ends. Perfect. Under the arm.
Under the arm could be a bit icky if it's really
It's just down a bit, Lawrence, across from where your chest is. If you just put, that's it. And then I've included a few extras. So there's the wrist and the fingers on the edge of each finger.
Mm-hmm. Like a mini karate chop on your fingers.
Yeah, but I just squeeze it. It's easier.
Yep.
And the fingers are great because you can use those anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah. And you know what? I remember these from the session I had recently and you could feel a stress release just happening from doing that.
The finger points are great, I think. And my clients have said to me they really like the finger points because no one knows what they're doing, and smokers love using the finger points and just gives them something to do with their hands. And clients, you know, do it at the supermarket and things like that, or in a meeting under the boardroom table, they could be doing that. So very, very easy to apply. And when you're applying it to yourself, you don't have to use all the points. You can literally use one or two of them.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And because I'm hoping that anyone who's listening to this and who hasn't experienced it before can at least just try it a little bit to see what they might notice from doing that. Because like you, when you're going into your exam and someone said, let's do that, and you discover this world of calm that allowed you to get through that exam with such ease and grace that they might experience that too.
Absolutely. That's right.
What about the future for you? What plans do you have there?
Well, the future is obviously with this transition of being online more than not is to be more global, work with people all over the world, which I am doing, but I'd like to expand that out more. And also with my training to train more hypnotherapists in tapping, because as you know, I'm passionate about it. And all the students that I've trained have been really glad that they did it. So it really pleases me.
I know a few people that have been through your training and they've all had absolute praise for what they got out of your training and for your way to deliver it as well. So
thank you. So more trainings, more group work, workshops, more writing and things like that. And when I can get my head around the tech side of things a bit more, some online courses.
Well, online courses are great. It'd be great to see you do a tapping one online. That people
yeah, for sure. Do. Yes.
Attend it.
Absolutely. lots to do, Lawrence.
People want to reach out to you at the moment. How can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can call me on my mobile or go to my website, email me. I'm on Facebook, Time to Thrive with Gail. So any of those avenues is absolutely fine with me. So Facebook's probably my main communication with my business at the moment. So certainly Time to Thrive with Gail on Facebook is an easy way for me.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Gail, thank you so much for your time today and for giving us a little bit more insight into the world of tapping and, you know, why it can work for the people we work with.
Thank you, Lawrence.
I really hope people have got something out of this today and reach out to you and say hello.
Yes, thank you so much once again for having me. It's been lovely to see your face and catch up properly. If anyone wants a taste of it too, I've just got a workshop that's $47 coming up for goal success. So I'm going to be using tapping to remove some blocks for people towards their goals. So a really great one for therapists to do as well.
That sounds excellent. When's that happening?
That's on the 11th of February.
Great.
Fantastic. Yeah, I had to think because I've got another one happening. So 11th of Feb. Yeah. So it'll be on my Facebook. Yeah.
We'll make sure we put a link around this video as well so that if anyone's listening and going, oh, that sounds like an awesome thing to try out, it could be a really good taster as well as removing some of those limiting belief blocks at the same time.
Absolutely. Good way to start the year.
Yes. I might even join in on it myself.
Yes, so, please do. Awesome.
Thank you again and thank you for everyone for watching. I wish you all the best for the moment and look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you, Lawrence. Bye, everyone.
Hey there. Just before we wrap up this episode of The Confident Hypnotherapist for the fortnight, I want to let you know about the upcoming Podcast Expert Summit that's happening online from February 22nd until the 24th. It's 12 hours of fantastic content that if you feel you have a podcast within you, this summit will help make that a reality. You'll find a link to sign up for that summit around this podcast, and I'll be one of the guest speakers there, which I'm very honored about. Of course, if you haven't already as yet, make sure you go and find the Hypnotherapist Networking Group on Facebook. Join that group. It's a fantastic resource for new and established hypnotherapists alike, where you'll find lots of information, not just about this upcoming summit, but about other training opportunities as well. Thanks for watching. I look forward to seeing you in a fortnight's time. Until then, take care.